Our scripture passage is from Ezekiel 2, verse 1 to Ezekiel 3, verse 9. That's Ezekiel 2, verse 1. This is God's word. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you, eat the scroll, then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house."
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to look at this section of Ezekiel and ask that you'd clear our minds of distractions, so that we'd hear what you have to say to us really clearly. We pray that the fruit of this is that we'd be transformed, we'd be more like Jesus, we'd think, act, and speak like him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing breaking news is tough. Some people have jobs where they've got to share breaking news. By breaking news, I mean news that sort of changes everything. Breaking news is the kind of news where nothing will ever be the same again. It's different to good news, because some people sort of deliver good news. Let me give you an example. You get a text on your phone from Australia Post, your parcel's been delivered. The midwife exits the delivery suite. It's a boy. You might see a lovely post on Facebook of some sort of achievement. That's my next door neighbour winning a panel beating competition. It's the best car, that car, it's a ripper. Breaking news is different to good news. It's weightier. And some people have jobs where they have to regularly deliver breaking news. I have a friend called Jody McNeil. He's a firefighter with the Rural Fire Service. And he often has the task of going ahead of the front of the fire and knocking on people's doors and saying things like, "Dung, dung, dung, dung," opens the door. "The Bargo fire front is 23 minutes from your house." That's breaking news. That's news that sort of changes everything. The look on the person's face is, do I leave my most valuable asset or do I stay and fight and potentially lose my life? But Jody's task compared to some other people and the breaking news they've got to deliver is he's much easier. Maurice Payne is the former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister under Scott Morrison when he was Prime Minister. She delivered far more weighty news than Jody generally did. In 2021, the Morrison government created the Quad, a security alliance between Australia, Japan, the USA and India, and that didn't make China very happy. And Maurice Payne's job was to go and deliver breaking news to Wang Yi, who was the Foreign Minister of China. Some people have jobs where they've got to go and deliver good news. Some people have jobs where they've got to go and deliver breaking news. And Ezekiel was the latter. And in 2:1-3:9, we see God prepare Ezekiel for the task. He's not actually going to start the job until chapter 4. But in this next little section, we see his workplace orientation, his pre-work briefing. And what we see straight away is that God supplies Ezekiel with all the equipment he'll need for the task. Look at 2:1-2 with me. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet and I heard him speaking to me. Please notice a few things here. Why does he say, stand up? Well, at the end of chapter 1, where Ezekiel has been shown the glory of the Lord, what's Ezekiel's response? Well, Ezekiel chapter 1, it ends like this. When I saw it, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, when I saw it, I fell face down and I heard the voice of one speaking. In the face of the glory of the Lord, he goes weak in the knees. He does a face plant, mate. He's down. He's prostrate before the Lord. And so then what does God do with this guy on the ground, this weak vessel, this 30-year-old feeble-looking dude? Well, God does a double-barreled equipping of Ezekiel. He gives Ezekiel his spirit and his word. God says to Ezekiel, son of man or human being, he calls him this name 93 times, son of man, stand on your feet. But it's as though Ezekiel is unable because sentence two, it says, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. Now, please do not allow the miracle of that to be lost on you. In the vision in chapter 1, it's the Spirit, this same Spirit that empowered the cherubim and the wheels, sentence 12 and 20, this very same Spirit that resides right there in the heart of this Mount Vesuvius volcanic eruption-y, God-y windstorm out of the north kind of thing is given to Ezekiel to give him energy to get to his feet. God doesn't give Ezekiel a red bull. He gives him his own spirit. And secondly, God gives Ezekiel his word. Now, that's more explicitly stated in 2:7, but please just notice just how many times God speaking is mentioned in and around this couple of sentences. 1:27, then there came a voice. 1:28, I heard a voice of one speaking. 2:1, he said to me, I will speak to you. He spoke and I heard him speaking to me. Like a bloke getting peppered with paintballs at a Bucks party, like God just keeps saying, I say something. I'm the God who speaks. He's not an ancestor spirit. He's not a silent statue of a Buddha. He's got something to say. In fact, he's got a lot to say. And when he says it, there's not going to be any confusion. He's as clear as a bell about it. 2:7, he says, you must speak my words to them. Ezekiel is completely equipped. God gives him the power to do the job by the Spirit, and God gives Ezekiel the words to do the job, the breaking news that he needs to deliver. Ezekiel doesn't have to create or craft his own original message. He just takes the word God gives to him and he passes it on to the intended recipient. I think it's interesting to think about Ezekiel in 539 BC and then Jesus 30 AD and then us here at Bull Creek in 2023, and to just think about and ponder the words that God has given to each of us for us to pass on. This little table here details the breaking news that we're each commissioned to send on, and it varies and it's different. And I think it's quite fascinating for us in 2023. We have the whole of the scriptures. We have Genesis through to Revelation. And what is it about? It's actually about a person. It's about Jesus, because the Word became flesh, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Old Testament's the shadow predicting the reality, and Christ comes, and then the scriptures post Jesus' resurrection and ascension talk about what his life means. It's just very exciting. I find that great. When you look at that diagram and think about being commissioned to speak words, I want to ask you a low resolution question. I'm an evangelical and I'm about to use the word feel, so get ready. Do you feel equipped to pass on God's breaking news? Do you feel equipped? Now, do you know what happens when I go to conferences like this and I sit with groups of people like you over dinner tables and ask them whether they feel equipped? Do you know what happens? I get the face wobble mumble. Have you ever seen that? Do you feel equipped? Oh, blah, 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 blah. There's all these reasons why people aren't equipped. Blah, 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 blah. The face wobble mumble, have you seen it? Have you done it? So I asked you a low resolution question. Let me now ask you some higher resolution questions to sort of work out the face wobble mumble and whether it's justifiable. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you? You're sitting there thinking to yourself, of course it's dwelling inside of me, you bozo. I've taught Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 100 times. In fact, I've read it 100 times. I've taught it to other people. Of course I could just believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the deposit guarantee. Yeah, of course I've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit, haven't you? Let me ask another question. Do you know what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is? And you go, of course I do, right? Year 11, I got taught two ways to live and how to explain it clearly so I don't get mucked up. And then when I went to uni, and when I was second year uni, I used to teach youth group on Friday night at church and taught the year 11 students there like somebody taught me back in the other. Of course I know what the gospel is. Can I ask you another high resolution question? Have you been in a Bible teaching church or ministry for the last 3 or 4 years? And there'll be someone here in the room who says, oh yeah, I go to Prov City. Who leads Prov City? What's the standard staple diet at Prov City? Oh, it's just Rory Shiner preaching. He's the leader of the Gospel Coalition Australia, done a PhD in theology, and he's a bloke who writes books for Matthias Media. He probably can preach okay. Another high resolution question, have you been trained in evangelism? And you sit there and you go, I have actually. Yeah, Tim Thorburn used to take me out library learning. I did that with him for a few years and then, you know, he handed the baton over to me and then I taught a few other students to do it. And actually, now that I've graduated, I help run the life course at church. Yeah, I guess so. The reason I'm asking you the higher resolution questions is that the face wobble mumble is not warranted in this room. It's not warranted. I visited Zimbabwe in April 2023 this year, and I spent time, there should be some pictures come up on the screen, and I spent time with a pastor who's dearly loved by people in Perth. His name's Anthony Dandato. He heard about apprenticeships when he was studying at George Whitfield College over in South Africa, and he thought, our country needs ministry apprenticeships before people go to college. So he said, where do they do them and who can I do them under? And he learned about Australia and he came across and he did a ministry apprenticeship under Tim Thorburn at UWA around about 2010. And now he's gone back to Zimbabwe and one of his key roles over there is to run the MTS equivalent in Zimbabwe. So I was over there helping him do things, strategic planning, etc. And we were chatting and I said, how well trained are people here compared to in Zimbabwe? And he said to me, because he's been in and around UWA, he said to me, Benny, most 20-year-old reformed evangelical Christians in Australia are better trained than middle-aged church pastors in Zimbabwe. And the church pastors in Zimbabwe generally are running three churches. Friends, you have been extremely well-resourced. I don't know whether anyone's told you this before, but it is seriously hard to think of any group of Christians in any place in the world, in any time in history, who have been better trained than you. Now, no one's going to throw you in the deep end and get you to be the head of a denominational church on the 1st of January 2024. That's not where I'm heading here. But I am putting a challenge to you to take very seriously that you've been, to those who much has been given, much will be demanded. And that I want to challenge you to consider doing a ministry apprenticeship in consultation with your elders, but within the next 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 years at an appropriate time slot. Why? Two reasons. God has equipped you. And secondly, because 90% of Australians, I think that's a conservative estimate, 90% of Australians are staring down the barrel of eternity in hell where they'll be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And the only solution to save them from that is to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe it, to repent and to be saved. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but there's just no way to sugarcoat that, is there? There's just no way to sugarcoat it. And what does Spurgeon say of Christians who don't care about the salvation of others? Spurgeon said he's worried about their salvation. Well, getting back to Ezekiel, firstly, we see that God equips Ezekiel to speak. What happens next in this sort of workplace orientation? Well, what happens next is that God says to Ezekiel, speak despite the opposition. Look at 2, 3 to 5. He said, son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel is sent to Israel, the people of God, those who have known the word of the Lord and his writings for about 1,000 years. Their insight is God sends Ezekiel as his prophet to the house of Israel before he sends them as an ambassador to the nations later on in chapters 25 to 32. But what are these people, these Israelites, like? Look at the underlined words up there on the passage. Rebellious times four, obstinate, stubborn. Six words of condemnation in three sentences. And what does rebellious mean in case we don't remember? Showing a desire to resist authority, control, or convention. So when the scriptures say that Ezekiel faced rebellious people, can I just say to you, there was not 1 ounce of exaggeration there. The worst behaviours of the Israelites at this point in history wasn't heckling during his sermons, and it wasn't pulling the pin on their funding because their motion didn't get through a parish council. Let me share a couple of things, the unbridled violence that their rebellion had. The Israelites made Antifa look like a Sunday school picnic. 300 years prior to Ezekiel, we see Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, frame Naboth for treason in order so that she could steal his property, steal his vineyard. He gets tried and executed and she takes it. That's one of the leaders in the nation, 2 Kings 21. 47 years prior to the passage we're looking at, Israel's priests served at altars in Topheth in order that parents might sacrifice their own sons and their own daughters to the Ammonite god Molech. 2 Kings 23. And then just 5 years prior to this passage, back in Jerusalem, 1,200 K away, Jeremiah the prophet was placed in stocks, you know, bound in a stock by the priest Pashur and given 40 lashes, had the flesh ripped off his back, and he was left out overnight as a punishment. Ezekiel's commissioning is a little bit more like Australian Army basic training at Kapooka than it is your average ordination service for, let's say, the Presbyterian Church of Australia. Ezekiel was given a terrifying task, which makes complete sense of the next thing the Lord says to Ezekiel. Sentence 6, "And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." It's very interesting in Scripture. Have you noticed that whenever God says to somebody, "Do not be afraid," you think, "Oh, why is God saying that to that person?" It's usually because they're absolutely petrified. He's saying to Ezekiel, "I know you're thinking about the battle ahead. I know you're thinking about the horrific consequences." But he says to Ezekiel, "Look into my eyes and understand three things. Speak despite your emotions. I'm with you by my spirit. Nothing will happen to you that's outside my knowledge, whether you're afraid or not." Sentence 6. Secondly, speak my words. Sentence 7. You don't have to embellish it. Don't leave bits out. Just deliver the words that I give to you. And thirdly, speak whether they listen or not. Sentence 7 and 3:11. Pass on my message whether they respond positively or whether they respond negatively. Can you see how Ezekiel's task is a little bit like Maurice Payne's task, the Australian Foreign Minister? On the 24th of September 2021, she was commissioned by Scott Morrison to inform China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi of the creation of the Quad Security Alliance. And what Mr. Yi communicated to Maurice Payne was his boss, Xi Jinping's response to the creation of the Quad, which was a response of great displeasure. It's Cold War thinking, and Xi Jinping condemned, quote, US-led countries for seeking to contain, encircle and suppress China, unquote. Imagine how Maurice Payne would have felt being scolded by one of the most powerful people in the world who has at his disposal, or at least his boss has at his disposal, some of the most effective secret police and spies in the world. She was probably petrified. But her job is to deliver the message whether Mr. Yi or Xi Jinping is happy about it or not. Her job is to just deliver the message. Jesus similarly delivered messages to people, irrespective of their response. I don't know whether you know what he says in Matthew 23. It's very un-PC for a religious leader to speak in this way. Let me warn you. But Jesus says this, Matthew 23:15, "Woe to you Pharisees, teachers of the law, you hypocrites. You travel by land and sea to win a single convert, and when you do, you prepare them twice as much as yourselves to be a child of hell." Did they repent? No, they didn't. 6 days later, they orchestrated Jesus' execution. And friends, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. As Christians gathered here at WA Challenge 2023, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, because you and I are given responsibilities universally under the Great Commission. And if we are Bible study group leaders or office bearers in our church, we're given particular responsibilities to deliver and speak truth. So, for example, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word in season and out of season, brackets, whether people listen or not, close brackets, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Titus 1, 9-11, a word to elders. And I think derivatively, or at least as a Venn diagram, if you're a Bible study group leader or hold responsibility at church, you've got to be wearing some of this as well. Titus 1, 9-11, an elder must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he or she can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deceptions, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are disrupting whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach. Let's pause for a second. As you think about the possibility of changing tack in life and think about the possibility of becoming a gospel worker sometime in the future, I wonder what it is that you fear the most. I don't know whether you've ever shared it with someone. Most Aussies are chasing the four P's. They'll come up on the screen. I wonder whether you might, you know the four P's, don't you? Position in a company, pay packet, property, parental, like every, most Aussies are chasing the four P's. Therefore, when people become gospel workers and change tack in life, they're afraid of missing out on one of those. I thought you might take a minute to chat to the person next to you and say, which one of those are you most afraid of losing? Or it might be something else. Take a minute to chat to the person next to you. Might gather your attention back. It's good to say it out loud sometimes if you're afraid of something, isn't it? Have you ever heard the phrase, a problem shared is a problem halved? It really helps. Tell people what you're scared of. Makes you less scared. But how are you going to manage the fear connected with something that you're... How are you going to manage that fear? Can I give you a few tips? Our first thing is pray. Ask God to give you a hard head, a head of flint and a soft heart, like Ezekiel was given in 3:9, a resolute constitution in the face of persecution. Second thing that's good to think about is think of yourself as taking on the task of being an ambassador. Now, my wife Emma worked as the chaplain for the senior school of Danebank Anglican School for Girls. I get it's a long name. And so she would regularly teach the Bible to 600 students each week, most of who were not Christians. And it was amazing how many times and how often she would feel afraid or nervous or feel like an absolute hypocrite. You can never know, can you? But it really did like feel like spiritual attack with a frequency that's unnormal, that's unusual in any job, just not normal. And so what would we do? We'd talk through that, and every time she'd feel that way, we'd stop. We'd remember 2 Corinthians 5:20 and that we're ambassadors. And I'd say to Emma things like, you are like Maurice Payne before Wang Yi. Your job is to go and deliver the Prime Minister's message. It doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how they respond. You're like a PVC piece of pipe. It doesn't matter how the pipe feels as the water flows through it. You're an ambassador. Can I encourage you to think the same way? So there's pray, think of yourself as an ambassador, and don't give up. You and I have got no idea what's going on in people's hearts. We walk up to somebody and they're all tatted up and look like a bikie who's going to bash us. They could be the softest hearted person that God's been preparing for us to come and share the gospel with them for the last 14 years. Just deliver the message. Don't assess people. And on that don't give up, no one ever got any good at anything without some hard yakka. Malcolm Gladwell, he's the author of the 2008 New York Times bestseller called Outlier, and he says, quote, "The key to achieving world-class expertise in any skill is, to a large extent, a matter of practicing the correct way for a total of around 10,000 hours. That's not that long, you know. Well, friends, where have we travelled thus far? This session's topic is Go and Speak God's Bittersweet Gospel Despite Opposition. And no doubt sermon point number one has encouraged you, it encouraged me. God equips his people by giving them his spirit and his word. Now, point number two in the sermon's been a little bit harder, hasn't it? God says speak despite opposition. Well, friends, he says speak breaking news. What exactly is the breaking news? How is it described in Ezekiel in this workplace orientation? Let's look at 2:9 following. "Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it.' So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." Mark Hilmer in his commentary says, "Normally ancient scrolls were generally written on one side only. The implication here is that the scroll was thoroughly saturated with the words of divine judgment. The breaking news that Ezekiel delivers is like the breaking news that Jody McNeil had to deliver to during the Bargo Blaze. Destruction is coming. But the flip side of that news, especially with God, is that you can do something about it. You can repent. It's better to know than to not know, isn't it? And that's why when you read God's word, you read Mark and inwardly digest it, they actually always taste sweet, because woe is bitter, but warning is sweet. One of my favourite summaries of the gospel from the Bible is 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." It's in many ways a profoundly bitter verse. Christ, the precious one, the promised one, the devout eternal king, died. Why? For sweet reasons. He's the vaccine for my problem of sin. He's the guy who stops the social distancing between me and God. God's bittersweet gospel is amazing. Well, friends, as we finish up, I hope you've been both encouraged and challenged. We've been reminded that following Christ is like being a firefighter, or perhaps a Minister for Foreign Affairs. It's a job that requires much of us. It's a job that requires the sharing of breaking news, news that changes everything in a person's life. It changes everything in our lives. I hope you've been encouraged by the fact that we go out with this task of making disciples of all nations. And when we do that, God equips us for the task by giving us his spirit and his word. God says, speak despite opposition. We've got to go as an ambassador, put emotions aside and deliver the message, take the courage pill. And isn't it great to know the content of this bittersweet gospel? We preach the word. We preach the word incarnate. We preach a person. We preach Christ and him crucified. God and his glory, Jesus and his cross, that's all that matters. I don't know whether you've ever heard the Zinzendorf quote. It's one of the ones that's deep in my heart. Zinzendorf says, preach the gospel, die, be forgotten. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to put your glory before our glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.